Everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, in today's episode, I want to talk about what I think is one of the most used and probably least understood words in Christianity today. And I know that's a tall statement, but I think that word is grace. You know, I think people that have a lot more knowledge than I do have tried to explain it to me. And some have done a great job, and I think some haven't. And so what I want to do today is just talk about grace and how it affects us, and maybe we can learn something together. So to start with, you know, we've got to ask that question, you know, what is grace? And it may sound simple, and, you know, a lot of people can just go check Google, what is grace? What does grace mean in the Bible? But really, grace is being free from the barriers of sin. Right? You know, we all have these sinful desires. And so grace is being free from that captivity, right? I think one of the best definitions is just three words, right? Grace is God's unmerited favor, right? Those three words. That's the probably best known definition that there is. And it speaks just volumes to what it means, right? So at the end of the day, if you're currently a believer in Christ, grace is the most important substance that you can possess, because by grace, through faith, we are saved. And once you've accepted Christ and you have, you know, you are a Christian, the first gift that God gives you is grace, right? That's the first thing. It's just amazing that occurs. And as we go through this walk and we're talking with people, at some point in our lives, someone is going to ask you, you know, as a Christian, the same simple question, right? How can we receive grace? And I think the answer is generally, well, you know, you got to accept Christ, or you got to believe in God, or, you know, there's all these things that we generally answer. But I think as Christians, we're not doing justice to this process if we just say you got to believe in Christ, right? I think we have to sit people down and talk about it. We have to start with the fact that we cannot earn grace. We have to make sure that everybody understands that, right? That we can't earn it by anything good that we do. In 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 10, he says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. This is a very important scripture that we're looking at in Timothy, because it says this grace was given in Christ before the beginning of time. So if you really think about that, right, God, long before creation, God paved the way for grace. He was like, this is going to occur. And when Jesus defeats death and he grants that pardon through the death, through his death on the cross, we're going to receive that grace. If we could produce grace for ourselves, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus, would we? His death would have been worthless. And who knows where the world would be like today, right? But God planned it. Grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That's a very powerful statement. I think sometimes people maybe overlook. I know when I started studying for this, I hadn't really read that the way it says it, right? I read scripture every day. But to recognize that long before God ever created the earth, right, before the beginning of time, he had a plan. You know, so because he had a plan, no matter what we do here on earth, right, whether we serve the public, whether we give to the poor, or we're just like, I'm an all-around good guy, it's not enough. We will not receive grace through any works of our own. Because if we did, it wouldn't be grace, right? It wouldn't be unmerited favor from God. You know, so what people will learn, or people need to learn, is that in order to experience the grace of God, we have to accept Christ, right? Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Because of the life of Christ and the blood he shed for us on the cross, that grace comes alive in our life. That, you know, that Ephesians is, I think many of you know, and you've heard me probably talk about it, Ephesians is one of my favorite letters that Paul wrote. And it's because when I first came to Christ, it spoke to me. It spoke to me like nothing else. And so I think it's fitting as we talk about grace as we go through this, right? And so we're going to go through Ephesians chapter 2, and we're kind of going to go through verses 1 through 10, and we'll step through it and see where this takes us, right? But if we look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, these are really conditions for grace, right? Where it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So think about that, right? We all, from the very beginning, right, from the garden, from Adam and Eve, there was this fall from grace, right? There was this original sin. And because of that original sin, all have sinned. And there's only one way for us to come back. There's only one way for us to receive that grace, right? And so that's through Christ on the cross, right? So we're saying, right, as you were dead in your transgressions and sins, right? Everybody sins. Everybody has problems. Everybody has been through it. And from birth, we are sinners because of that original sin, because of that fall from grace in the garden. All have sinned, right? In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have to recognize that. We have to recognize and say, yep, I'm a sinner. So what do I got to do? Right? And what you got to do is recognize that God loves you. Recognize that Christ is there, right? You know, because God will give you grace. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying here is, even though we were dead to sin, right? Even though we were in the world, even though we were dead in our transgressions is the word he used. God was rich in mercy. And he, even though we were dead to sin, like we were living in sin, he made us alive through Christ, right? And that's how we were saved. It's that grace, that unmerited favor. We were saved and we were seated with him in Christ Jesus. You know, as I was studying for this, I always like to look at different quotes, and there was an author, Anne Lamott, who said, and it really touched me because I was like, wow, okay. But she said, I do not at all understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are, but does not leave us where it found us. Wow, right? I mean, can you recognize the impact of that statement? Grace does not leave us where it found us. I mean, there are plenty of people that have found Christ during terrible times in their lives, in terrible places in their lives, right? There are plenty of people who have been in prison and found Christ. There are plenty of people who have been just through traumatic events, found God, and that grace from God moved them to a better place or a better situation. Grace did not leave them where it found them. I can't think of a quote that I think really hit me more than that one as I was doing this research. And it made me think about the thief on the cross with Jesus, right? He had clearly done bad things. He was being crucified. That wasn't something that they just randomly decided to do. And at this point, there's nothing he can do. And he certainly can't earn grace. He's hanging on a cross. But Jesus says to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." That is a perfect example of God's unmerited favor, right? The three words that best define grace. "Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Grace does not leave you where it finds you. You really got to spend some time, or maybe even pray on that. I've been thinking about it a lot. You know, everybody can receive this gift. In Romans 5:15, it says, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" He's saying here that the grace is a gift to all mankind. Everybody. And it's freely given. You know, there's another quote that I studied that said, "Grace is free, but it's not cheap." And it was Kevin DeYoung who wrote that, right? But that's a quote, "Grace is free, but it's not cheap." And I really thought about that for a while. Like, what does that mean? Because grace is unmerited favor, right? I don't have to do anything other than accept Christ. I can't earn it, right? So I'm not working for it. So yeah, grace is free as long as I follow the teachings of Christ and I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, but it's not cheap. That second part of that quote kind of had me puzzled for a little bit. And I know it sounds crazy when you think about that. So I spent some time thinking about, you know, what does it really mean? What does it really mean that grace is costly? Because I don't think anybody really understands that. But I think what it boils down to is, above all, grace was not cheap for God to give to us, because it cost God the life of his son. It was expensive. And God never decided that cost was too high of a price to pay for you or for me. He willingly did it. So when this quote says grace is free, but it's not cheap, it wasn't. But it was worth it in God's eyes. You know, the grace that you have, or if you accept Christ, the grace that you will receive from God doesn't mean that you're never going to suffer. You know, as Christians, we know that the Bible teaches us that we're going to go through stuff. We're going to be persecuted. But what it does mean is that he's going to get you through it, right? He's going to be with you and he's going to sustain you through the troubled times. And you may not have all that you want, but his grace will give you all that you need. You know, in Philippians 4:11, it says, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." You know, when Paul writes the letter to the Philippians, he's in prison, right? And they help him and they send him stuff, but he doesn't need things. He's content with what's going on in his life. So as we talk about all of this grace, there's one thing that I've really been thinking about. And it might seem like a simple question, but how do you show yourself grace? How do you give yourself grace, right? You know, it's something that I personally struggle with. How do you give yourself grace? How do you be okay with that? I know that I don't show myself grace. It's hard for me to admit that, but I know that I don't. Because giving yourself grace is giving yourself permission to make a mistake. That's how I feel about it, right? It's giving yourself permission to forgive your lapse of judgment, to forgive your hurtful behavior, to recognize that no one is perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I've never claimed to be perfect. You know, I've said I'm an imperfect human being, but that doesn't mean I've shown myself grace. And shouldn't I? Shouldn't you? Shouldn't you give yourself permission to forgive your own mistakes? Because God already has. God forgave your mistakes when you accepted Christ. When you accepted Christ, God forgave your hurtful behavior. And if you continue with hurtful behavior, but you recognize it and you repent and you apologize, you're forgiven. That's that grace, right? You don't deserve it. After accepting Christ, I was given the grace of God. So if God has already forgiven me, why can't I forgive myself? Why don't I give myself that permission to make mistakes? You know, at the end of the day, you're going to mess up. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to make a mistake. Our goals in life cannot be to be perfect. We have to instead, our goal has to be genuine, to be real. If we are genuine and real with people, God's going to take care of the rest. And when you do mess up, don't let yourself feel bad about it. Just admit you were wrong. That's hard for me. Anybody who knows me, anybody who's listening knows I'm not good at that. Because no one wants to say I screwed up. I know I don't. No one wants to say I screwed up. But just because you had a bad day doesn't mean you have to have a bad life. Here's what I say. Try doing one good thing every day that you're proud of. Maybe it's some hobby that you love or, you know, it's facing a fear that you have. Whatever it is, whatever makes you proud, try to do that every day. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 30 minutes, right? If you're a musician and you're proud of the way you play the guitar, do it every day. It will help you learn how to show yourself grace. You're going to feel pride and you're going to feel healthy and you're going to feel confident. You know, Linda and I read this book about self-compassion. And we're consistently telling each other that we need to show ourselves compassion when times are hard. If we do something or we make a mistake or we didn't do this right or whatever it is, we say, man, you just got to have compassion for yourself. You got to show yourself compassion. But I never thought about showing myself grace. So that's what I want to start trying to do. I want to start trying to show myself grace, telling myself that it's okay. You know, as we think about everything I've talked about today, it gives us some things to think about, right? How sin affects us, how grace through Jesus has saved us. We've all sinned, and all of us need salvation. And this can only come by giving your life over to Jesus Christ. That's it. Not one of us is without sin. No one can be saved without grace. Because of this grace, we can live above the sin, right? We can live a life pleasing to God. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to sin, right? We sin every day, but we can live above it. We can recognize that sin and strive to be better the next day, right? We can repent for that sin. And so that's what I mean when I say we can live above it and that we can live a life pleasing to God. And the last thing I want to say is that grace gives us the power to do what we should. but not the freedom to do what we want. I think that is important to recognize, that we don't have the freedom to do whatever we want because of grace. Grace gives us the power to do what we should do, what Christ teaches us to do, not the freedom to do what we want. Hey, everybody, this is Rick with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, thanks for listening. You know, subscribe to whatever podcast platform of choice you're on and shoot me an email, hello@nomadpastor.org. Give me some topic ideas and we'll put them up there. Thanks. Have a blessed day.